Let's stand and sing.
Before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
If you could remain standing for the prayer, thank you. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you that we can come this morning. We know that we don't bring anything that's worth your salvation, and yet you give it to us freely. We come as those people who know that our salvation has changed our lives, that your love sustains us. And so we bring ourselves as an offering to you, our life lived as disciples, and material goods given back to you as we bring our offerings. We thank you that we give our time to you as well, and we do it freely and gladly, and rejoice that you are glorified through it. Father, we come because you have invited us to your table. We come because you have reached out to us with your love. And we come because we have responded in faithfulness and joy. And so, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours, to the glory and praise of your name. Amen.
Please be seated. Put your feet up. Don't take your shoes off. Got some quick notices. Firstly, Friday Friends. Thank you to all those people who attended Friday Friends and those who attended to our needs, food, drinks and seating last Friday. I think I can safely say that this space was filled with our chat. Fantastic. Our October date, Friday the 27th, we'll have a breast cancer awareness theme. More details later on. Watch this space. Our Vines holiday, school holiday event for children is on Thursday the 12th of October, not the Thursday this week, Thursday just after Hug a Drummer Day. All right. And the theme is, it's going to be in the afternoon, 12th of October, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. The theme will be Jump for Joy. I'm sure Joy has given permission for her name to be used in the title. And there will be music, there will be games, there will be craft, and there will be snacks. Adult Fellowship will have a fun auction coming up. It's on the Wednesday before Jump for Joy, 1:30 p.m. Information is in the grapevine, what to bring, and Pam's phone number for more information. Leon, ladies and gentlemen, and don't forget Hug a Drummer Day. 10th of October.
Good morning, all. This morning is going to be a little different because we're going to have a shared morning tea after the service. And that is because we're going to say farewell to Ian Kitto, not forever. He's still going to remain with us in our congregation, but to welcome the Reverend Trevor Clarke. You've just noticed him praying at the beginning of the service. So please share fellowship after the service and just say thank you to Ian. Now, there is a card in the foyer, so if anyone would like to write a little message of thanks to Ian, please do. So it's just on this side in the foyer. So thank you. Oh, Trevor is going to be with us till March or April of next year. So, welcome, Trevor. We don't have to get you to stand up because you've already done that. So, thank you.
What are all these boxes for?
Good morning, everybody. Here we are again, this time of the year that we acknowledge the wonderful ministry and are thankful for the wonderful ministry of Samaritan's Purse, and especially with their project of Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes, which, as you know, is a simple shoebox filled with goodies, filled with love, but a symbol of God's love, which is going to bless many, many children and their families in many countries. So the Vines Church family has been a part of this ministry for 20 years, so it's quite significant. So for 20 years we've been giving thanks, preparing and enjoying this ministry. So once again, on behalf of Wendy and Sandra and Samaritan's Purse, I sincerely thank you for your kind, your generous and your enthusiastic support over all those years, and this year is no exception. So we're thankful for 66 boxes this year. So they're all filled with much love, and Sam's going to share with us this morning a prayer of thanks. As we bless these boxes, they'll all be picked up this week. They then go through a big process of checking and being prepared for delivery. So thank you, Sam. Perhaps I'll hold this box. So this box just represents the 66 boxes that we're sending off.
Let us pray. God, thank you that having received a symbol of Jesus' love in these boxes and the good news that these children may know Jesus saved them and He is their Lord. Life, that they would live a life for Jesus. Amen.
So thank you once again. God bless you all. Bye.
This feels a bit like Mad Monday that sporting teams have when their season is over, or the supporters who were still making noises next door to us at about 3:30 this morning, wasn't it, Karen? I could use this time to let my hair down, but I haven't got much left. And I'd rather not do anything too silly because, I've done it before, yeah, I know, but also because I'm not going anywhere. And I'll still be here next week. But not as a supply minister, and it would be embarrassing for us all if I was sillier than I am. However, I do have a few things I want to say in my farewell statement or reflections or whatever. The first is thank you for the privilege of allowing me the privilege of serving here over the last 5 or so months. When David Pryor became unwell, all that, many months, weeks ago, back in April, life here for the Vines congregation, as we know, was severely disrupted and abruptly unsettled, wasn't it? And it was a combination of factors that meant that I was ready, willing and hopefully able to step in and hold the fort for a while. And I'm conscious that ministry is a privilege. It's, I've always seen ministry as the role of ministry as comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. And sometimes it's challenging when difficult decisions are necessary, and sometimes it's a joy as we get to know people in deep ways when we're leading congregations. I apologise for any hurts that I've inflicted on anyone. I haven't done that intentionally. And if my wisdom has been lacking at any time, then I'm sorry for that too. Ministers are never perfect, as you know. Well, not all the time, anyway. Being a shepherd, a leader, a servant, a spirit guide, an administrator, a worshipper, a listener, a stirrer, a chair stacker, an IT advisor, a publicist, evangelist, and all the other bits that go together to, and that are required in ministry means that sometimes someone like me doesn't get it right. But as I step back now, formally, I'd like to encourage you to do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves, to quote the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians. This means that all of us are to imitate Jesus. We're to faithfully serve the communities in which we live, as well as this community gathered here this morning. It's not to build ourselves up, but it's to build others up. Or to say that in another way, it's not about us and what we like. It's about church. Church is primarily about helping and blessing those who are outside these walls, those who don't yet know Jesus. And we're to use whatever gifts God has given to us to help others, to recognise and grow, and to use their gifts. And we never get too old to use our gifts either. Although when you get to 88 or something, it's probably time to stop climbing on the church roof, isn't it? Yeah. I'm not that old, by the way. We're to be a community working together with one another so that those who are not yet part of this congregation gain a benefit. And this is particularly important for us to understand when the Big M minister's role will continue to be only part-time, as it has been for the last 5 months. We collectively, therefore, will need to take on new roles or to continue doing some roles that we've been doing more recently. And finally, a word about prayer. Please continue to pray for David Pryor as he continues his healing. Pray for the leadership of this congregation, including Trevor Clark, as we adapt to slightly different ways of doing things. And please pray for one another. You know, that phrase, one another, is a great phrase for the church to take hold of. We do things together. But also, pray for others who are not yet fully committed to Jesus. Some you will know by name, some will only be known by Jesus. So may God continue to bless you as you serve and live out the faith that you have in Jesus, the risen Christ.
We've got Chloe. We are happy. We're going to sing 10-9-8. All of us. Every one of us. So if you don't know the words, you just say the numbers. Piece of cake, easy. Ready? Well, you are Mrs. Mr. Hey, did you notice? Pretty smart.
Except Rob's got the fuzzy wuzzy hair.
Bye.
sit. You guys can sit. That's okay. Oh, now it's working. That's good.
Hello.
Yes, it's working. We're doing well. As we prepare for communion, let us sing and pull ourselves back a little bit. Feed us now, just as we prepare, as we focus, as we think about the whole idea of communion.
Why are we here? The short and simple answer is that God has invited us. That's it. No other qualification needed. God has invited you and I to share at his table. We have a place here because we have an invitation. An invitation that's engraved in blood. An invitation that's engraved in a life given up for us. That's why we're here. You belong. I remind you of the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, I deliver to you that which I have received from the Lord, that on the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body, which is given for me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and again giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink from this, all of you, for this is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It's right to give him thanks and praise.
God of creation, we remember how you created the world and all its creatures and declared that it was very good. We remember how you never left us without guides and interpreters of your word, and prophets to call us back to you when we strayed from the path you intended us to travel. We rejoice with all that you have made as we join the company of heaven in their song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, we praise you. We thank you that in your mercy you gave us your only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks for his humble birth, for his life and ministry of love, for his sufferings and death on the cross, for his glorious resurrection and ascension, and for the promise that he will come again. We praise you, O God, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the church he brought to birth, and for the power of word and sacrament. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts, and as we share in the body and blood of Christ, make us one with him, one with each other, and one in service to all the world until Christ comes in final victory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, all glory and honour is yours, Almighty Father, one God for ever and ever. Amen. And we pray together the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup that we raise is a sharing in the blood of Christ. We are going to serve you this morning, and we will bring it to you in your seats. We will not hand it to you. We will ask you to take it, just because that gets around all the COVID stuff. But we will ask you to do that, but to hold it so that we can eat together. And then with the cup, to hold the cup so that we can drink together. Because we are one in Christ. And Ian and I will swap sides. So if you don't get us for one, you get us for the other. Sorry, but that's how it works. Okay, but this is a special time. And I would encourage you to reflect on what Jesus has done for you, how his salvation has made you rich, and how he has blessed you in all things. So let us receive what the Lord is offering to us.
Thank you.
When Christ allowed himself to be broken, he made us whole. Eat and remember what your Lord has done for you.
When we drink the cup, the blood of life, it nurtures and sustains us. It reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus, that through his grace we have life, life eternal. Let us drink and be thankful.
Father, in this miracle of you offering yourselves to us, we are renewed and restored. We are given new strength and new hope. And we are called again to serve you in every part of our lives. We thank you for all that you give us. And we thank you that we go out into the world as your loved ones, those who are precious. And we thank you.
When you leave, you can place the glasses in a basket at the back. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. The reading for today is from Philippians, book 2, verses 1 to 11. If then there is any comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnership in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
A few things, first of all. I believe that the Spirit of God is at work among us. So when I preach, you will note that I will be down almost in your face at times. But that's because my job is to allow the Spirit to speak to your heart and to allow you to respond. I'm probably too close to that. That'll mess them up. But I believe that God is involved with our lives in many powerful ways. My own story is one of involvement with God and how he's dealt with me. Because I was a typical rebellious kid. When I was 16 and knew everything, as 16-year-olds do, Arthur Jackson was the minister of our church, who is considered one of the statesmen of the church. And I went and told him what he could do with his church and where he could put it. I think you can understand what I said. Fortunately, he was gracious, because he said to me, look, you can do what you like with the church. What are you going to do about Jesus? And like many great preachers, he was responding out of the moment, because when I thanked him for that about 20 or 30 years later, he said, did I say that? That was a good line. And so God had already become involved with me. When I got a bit older, my oldest sister, Christine, conned me into being a Sunday school teacher at the little old Ranella church when it was in Peach Street. Some of you may remember it. And I was the world's second worst Sunday school teacher, I think, only on the hope that there's always someone worse. But she's got me to go off to this camp. I can't even remember what it was called. It was middle of winter. It was a June long weekend. And it was down at Emmanuel, and it was clear night, and it was freezing cold on the Sunday night. And I got sent outside, and I'd been kind of impressed by these young Christians, and I was asking questions of God. And so I said to God, all right, if you're real, show me. Now, the one thing that you don't expect is for God to show you. And he did. He spoke to me. Oh, not in any ways that you could, you know, record and play back later. But he spoke to me and said he existed and he loved me. And so I responded. It was a powerful moment. And I remember going back to my church, and there was a young minister there who didn't stay in the church for much longer after this, because he said, it's all right, you'll get over it. Can I say I never have? So he was wrong. But that began a ministry, or a journey through ministry. And I found that God kept being involved with me in ways that were surprising. I was at the ranch for a couple of years. We were working with street kids, unemployed, druggies, you know, kids that the courts couldn't handle because they were too tough, because they really didn't belong in the justice system, their main problems with their family, you know, that sort of stuff that's around all the time. And I remember one Sunday morning after church, we had an old V4 Transit. Whoever had a V4 Transit? God, you know, that was bad. But we were all in it, and we went and got the Sunday Mail. And we'd had one girl who was a druggie, and she had mental health problems, as most of them do. And we put her into Glenside because that was where we thought she'd get the best help. And there on the front page of the Sunday Mail was, couple commit suicide in van in the hills. They'd basically put the hose through the window. And and attached to the exhaust, and so they'd gas themselves. And I looked at it and I went, that's her. How did I know? Don't know. But I felt compelled to say something. And sure enough, it was her. And so we had to work through all of that. And then there were these little old ladies down at Port Nolunga, old Miss Christie and various others. And they said to me, oh, you'd be a good minister, Trevor. Now, I didn't then look like I do now. I was skinny. I had a blonde afro. And I had a dilly bag. And yes, Judy at the back is going, I remember that. Because Judy knew me then. And I went, oh, you're kidding. You know, I don't want to be a minister. But God then took me on a journey and spoke to me again and again. And eventually it became clear that that's what God was calling me to that sort of ministry. And so I started on a journey of ministry. And at my ordination, you know, my dear old Sunday school teacher got up and said, he was the naughtiest boy ever. I don't know how he ever got to this point. You know, I'm not sure either, but God took me on a journey and I needed to be obedient. And that's how I got there, by being obedient. And then in ministry, I found that God was involved with me in many different ways over many years. In my first church, which I won't say where it was, but it was in the country, one morning there was this old couple who lived out of town. And they were salt of the earth, you know, the pillars of the church, that sort of people. And I felt compelled to ring them. Now, it's not like just, oh, I think I should ring them. It would like, ring them now. So I went, okay. Rang them and I said, oh, g'day. How are you? Look, I just felt I should ring you this morning. Is there anything wrong? No, it's fine. This was about 9:30. At lunchtime, I got a phone call back from them to say that the husband's brother had committed suicide at 9:30. Why did that happen? I believed it was God's prompting and using me to be his word of grace and love at a really difficult time in their place. Did I know what I was doing? No. But I was seeking to be obedient. And so that happened. Now in ministry, as anyone who's been in ministry, Colin and Marge, Ian and others here probably, you don't always know what you're doing. My sister Chrissy turns 75 in a few days. Lovely. Judy knows it. Probably some of you do as well. But my sister Chrissy, when she was having her 60th, Chrissy was a family daycare provider. And she was saying to one of her families, you know, she was saying to them about this and, you know, who was, and they were asking polite questions and who's coming. Oh, my brother Trevor's coming. He's a minister. And this guy, this young dad, said, is that Trevor Clark? And my sister said, yeah. He said, he saved my life. And Chrissy told me this and I went, who? I had no idea who he was. But his older brother was in our youth group and his older brother was being beaten up badly by his dad regularly and came to us one night at youth group and told us about it, which whenever you're a minister, your heart sinks because here's a kid who's in real trouble and you're not sure what you can do for them. You know, and we said, look, come and stay with us. And he said, no, we've got to bring my little brother. He's in as much danger as I am. So we went and picked up the little brother. And they came and stayed at our place for a week or so while we organised somewhere for them to go. Well, it was the little brother. He saw that I'd saved his life. I saw that his brother needed for him to come. So I was just, again, being obedient to the best of my abilities. But God used it. I could tell you over and over again, and that's probably enough stories to give you a flavour. A flavour of who I am. Who am I? I'm an ordinary bloke. Cricket tragic. Lover of fruitcake. You know, husband, father, grandfather. Got four grandsons now. All of that. I'm quite ordinary. There's nothing particularly special about me, and those of you who have known me for longer would know that. In fact, I found out, I thought that, you know, Judy, who's known me nearly 50 years, would be the longest. Maybe my great-uncle Ralph, second time removed, or whatever it is. You know, all I can say of Ralph is he's a relative. You know? That he might have known me for longer, but they've been trumped. Because one of you is married to the girl who grew up across the road from me and has known me for over 60 years. So they would all tell you I'm quite ordinary. And I am. I'll make mistakes. Always do. You know, I'll sometimes say things that you won't understand. That's right, I probably didn't understand it either. You know, you'll notice that I preach with notes, and you might say, well, that makes him great. No, it makes me vain. Because I need glasses to read, and I hate reading a sermon and looking up and you all being a blur. So 20-odd years ago, I learnt to memorise my sermon points. Okay? And I have a technique for doing it. But I learnt to remember it so that I could speak without notes and therefore engage with you better. So it doesn't mean I'm clever, it just means I'm vain. Okay, I have my faults. So those are some of the things about me. I am ordinary. And yet, I find whenever I act in obedience and put myself where God can use me, he does. You're constantly in this state of reckoning with your... That's what I have found out in my life. And I hope that for many of you, you have found that out for yourselves. But for many of you, you know that God will use you if you give him the opportunity. So what is it that makes me worthy to God? Nothing. But what I read some of the covenant prayer earlier. Some of you may have recognised it. You know, it's a great prayer which points out that God uses us and makes it magnificent. That his glory is shown when we are obedient. So I hope that what I share with you while I'm with you is that understanding of just being a frail human vessel who seeks to serve their God. Not because what they bring is valuable, not the things that we do, but the fact that we do. The fact that we choose to be obedient, to live the life of disciples because God has saved and transformed us. Because that is what God does. I want to finish this time with a song that eventually I want to teach you. Okay, but with a song that in many ways expresses where I'm at. That I come not because of any goodness of my own, but because I need mercy and help, to steal the words from the communion service. But it acknowledges that God takes who we are and glorifies it through his Son, our Lord. So if we can have the song, Good and Gracious King, now. Thanks. Thank you.
I Welcome to our family, Trevor. Over the years, I've discovered that God can take the ordinary and make it extraordinary, and that is the gift for all of us. But as we come to prayer this morning, just for Trevor's benefit, I've got glasses that I can, that you're not fuzzy. So let us pray together. As we share in prayer this morning, let us remember that to do so is to open our hearts to the touch of God. Whether we are in a formal setting such as this, enjoying a walk along the beach, or sharing with loved ones, God is as close as the air that we breathe. In this time and place, we seek to lift up to God our broken world, not because God doesn't know what is happening, but because we, as his disciples, seek to find ways in which we can do our part to make it better. I read these words just this week from a poet. Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. So let us set aside all other thoughts as we come to God in prayer with a listening ear and a contrite heart and a desire to be an agent for change. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Holy One, we long to be faithful stewards of your love, to know, love, and serve each other with humility, wisdom, and indeed love. But gracious God, at times our world is so full of despair that we can't hold ourselves up. We need you. We need you, Lord, to hold us up, to calm our disquieted souls, and to empower us as we face the hurting world around us. This last week, the United Nations International Day of Peace was observed. Never has our world needed peace more. So many in our world have never really known true peace. We are so thankful that we live in a peaceful country. But even here, there are unsettled and troubled people. As your disciples, we ask that you might fill us with your peace and calm our fears, that we might be bearers of peace as we seek to find ways to reach out to those who feel helpless and hopeless. We think of the people of Libya as their plight continues to be before us, as they try to recover from such devastation that affected their country. Lord, it is incomprehensible to us that more than 4,000 people could be swept away in an instant. We ask that you might hold the survivors in your unshakable hands. Comfort and strengthen them as they mourn their loved ones and are contemplating an unknown future. And we add our prayers for all those across our world whose lives have been drastically turned upside down because of war, fires, earthquakes and famines. We can but trust them to your hands. As we read our newspapers and hear news reports, we realise that just simply being human means that people are capable of awful actions. We pray for victims of such crimes, and especially for those whose chosen work is to care, comfort, help, and heal those who have been so badly treated. We are grateful for those who step up in time of need, in spite of often horrific circumstances. We pray too for political leaders everywhere, Lord God. We elect people to positions of power and trust that they will have the good of the people at heart. But so often self-interest, greed and arrogance take them over, and dissension and conflict occur, which affect badly the community who trusted them. Lord, we pray they might understand that leadership of any kind is a privilege and should be the means by which good decisions can make a difference to the people who have trusted them. Please grant wisdom and courage to stand up for what is right and life-giving for those whom they serve. God of all, we pray that as the referendum about the voice to Parliament draws closer, that you will speak into our hearts. Help us to consider carefully what it means for all Australians, so that we might make a wise, considerate and godly decision as we vote. Caring God, we lift up to you those in our community who struggle with life, homelessness, illnesses of all kinds, loneliness, loss of dignity, grief and continual pain. We feel helpless to do anything about so much, but we pray that you will help us to love with your kind of love, that in some way we might make a difference to their lives where they touch ours. And so, Holy One, we pause as we name before you those whom we know personally who have challenges right now as they face difficulties every day. So in silence, we lift these names to you, our loving God. Healing God, our prayers continue for our minister David. We thank you and rejoice in his progress to this time. Against all odds, he is slowly moving forward. There is still such a long way to go, and we pray that day by day, your touch for him as he faces a very difficult rehabilitation period. Touch him and his family with your grace and love, we pray. Even as we pray for David and his recovery, we thank you for Ian, who has stepped up and filled the gap to this point. He has led us through a difficult period, and we thank you for his insightful and helpful messages over these last few months, but also for his care for so many of us. May you continue to bless him and Karen as he now has some respite. But, oh Lord, we are so grateful that Trevor has agreed to lead us through the next stage of this journey. We thank you for his presence with us and ask that you will bless us all as we work together so that we might continue to move forward as we seek to reconnect with the community around us. Dear Lord and Father of all mankind, forgive our foolish ways. We clothe us in our rightful minds. In purer lives your service find. In deeper reverence, praise. Amen.
You've got to realise that sometimes through glasses people look better. Don't always look fuzzy. Don't forget, after the service, prayer is available for those people if you need it. Come down towards the front and people will see to your needs. Let us sing. Stand and sing. Let's go. Open your mouth. Let's go. And can it be that I in the Saviour's blood.
So that I don't waffle and so that you're not blurry. We're about to go out from this place of celebration and worship to a morning tea to share together. And then we'll go back out into the world where we have the joy and the privilege to share our faith with others. Why? So that at the name given to Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And now, be encouraged, be blessed, and know that we go in peace to love and to serve our God. In the name of God, the Father and Creator, Jesus, the Son and Redeemer, and with the nurturing of the Holy Spirit always going with us. We go because God goes with us always. Amen.